time to read the scriptures. We are reading from John chapter 4, verse 31 to 42. It's a great passage. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 42. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." In verse 35, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Then in verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed, we are told, for another 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. I want us to read verse 41. Go back to verse 41 again. We did it together now. "And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know, and we know, and we know," hallelujah, "that this man really is the Savior of the world." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the moment we have to share in the word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you may use me for your glory and that you may open our hearts to receive the word. Once again, thank you so much for this word that we share today. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. We may have our seats. Let me once again appreciate all of us who are here in person and together with the ones who are in the pavilion and all the other overflow spaces. We bless the Lord for you. We thank God for those who are following this service online, for all over the world, different time zones. We appreciate you and we say God bless you. For that reason, I ask us to clap to appreciate the ones following the service online and the ones who are in the pavilion. Among those who have received the clap is Reverend Ambrose, who is in Mombasa, ministering there. And blessings to you, Pastor, together with your family out in Mombasa. And many others who are in the diaspora, we really, 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 really appreciate you. The title of the message is The Power of Liberating Vision. The Power of Liberating Vision. And I want to share three things with us. Number one, open your eyes. I think it's been put on reverse, in reverse on the screen. Yes, I think the main screen is okay. My screen is the other way around. But number one, open your eyes. Number two, look at the fields. And number three, they are ripe for harvest. The Power of Liberating Vision. My main verse is verse 35. Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. This is a great, great passage. Vision is a language of destiny. What you see determines what you pursue, and what you pursue determines what you possess. So Jesus confronts his disciples and also challenges them on a matter regarding vision. And today, in the 21st century, in our time, in a city like ours, through this sermon, God is also confronting and also challenging, also refreshing and encouraging our vision. Vision is critical for usefulness. And while opportunities lie all around us, we miss these opportunities because either of lack of vision or probably the size of vision that we have. Jesus has been walking with the disciples. He was coming from Judea going to Galilee. And instead of crossing the Jordan on the eastern side to bypass Samaria, Jesus determines that his team must go through Samaria. And he's been walking with this gentleman for quite a while. But as he walks with them, he notices they fail to connect with the opportunities because their vision needed correction, their vision needed sharpening, their vision needed to be challenged. And verse 35, therefore, is a critical scripture in the whole of John chapter 4, because it is upon that scripture then we shift. There is a shift in the whole passage. And at the center of that scripture is vision. They have been walking and they have been moving together, but for some reason, they are not seizing the opportunities. And I want to say that a nation or a city or a family or an individual or a continent that will seize its moment must first of all go back to the place called vision. Jesus saw the Samaritan woman, the disciples didn't. They probably met her coming to the well as they were going to Sychar, the city, to look for lunch. They probably passed each other. But the disciples did not see an opportunity. The whole story is about the Samaritan woman who meets Jesus at Jacob's well, and her life is changed forever. Jesus sees what the disciples didn't see. And in verse 35, therefore, he is now bringing them to a place of alignment in the journey of discipleship so that they can see what heaven sees and they can see what Jesus sees. Oftentimes, we have even missed the window of our children and the opportunity in our children by failure to see like heaven sees. And so Jesus sees the Samaritan woman. Jesus sees Sychar, the town, in a very different way than the disciples. And the disciples go to Sychar. They leave Jesus at Jacob's well. The well called Jacob's well was on a plot of land that was given to Joseph by Jacob. And there was a well there that was very, very deep. This lady must have come prepared to remove all water from the well by having her water jar and everything else needed to lower the jar to where the water was and be able to scoop the water and then go back to her house. And that was her mission. But this day was going to change her life forever. We come to a church like this in a regular way, but you attend a service that changes your life forever. And I want to thank God for the divine appointments that are lined up in the year 2026 and the divine appointment that this service is. And even the divine appointments that will show up in this coming week. I want to say that God is standing somewhere waiting for you. Hallelujah. And the encounter that you're going to have even this week and this year is going to be life-changing. It is when heaven meets man, or heaven meets a woman. And so Jesus converses with the woman at Jacob's well, asks her as a way of beginning the conversation, give me a drink. And the lady gets into the whole story of I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, I'm a woman, you're a man. How can we really be sharing anything? And shortly after that, of course, the disciples come and they are carrying meat or nyamachoma or burgers or ice cream. They're just coming with something, some food. And Jesus looks at the food and looks at the Samaritan woman. And he makes a very, very profound statement. I did read in John chapter 4, verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. This is a Samaritan woman, and here are the disciples with nyama choma, and Jesus is looking at the whole thing. And he's now beginning to address the disciples and their level of growth and maturity in terms of vision and understanding why Jesus came to planet Earth. And he says to them, I have food. Now, Samaritan woman, some here. I have food you know not about. Then he says in verse 33, then that his disciples say to each other, could someone have brought him food? In verse 34, my food, said Jesus, and this is a profound statement, my consuming passion, my mission, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So he begins to engage and confront the levels at which the disciples are, and the whole idea of the Samaritan woman and Jacob's well becomes a very good location for Jesus to begin to talk to his disciples. And so, although he's been with them for quite a while, they have walked with a shortness, or what you call a vision deficit. They have walked with Jesus, but they have missed so many opportunities because of the vision. And that's what Jesus is challenging here, and I believe to the church in the 21st century. I think this is an appropriate challenge even for you and for me. It is an appropriate challenge in our day and also our time. People of every age group, this is an appropriate challenge. And therefore, now he goes ahead in the scripture and does like a vision surgery and provides a sequence of statements that really are going to the core of the life of these disciples in terms of their work and relationship with God. Because God made us for mission. And therefore, he continues to challenge that mission inside you and that mission inside me to come forth and to be expressed so that it can benefit the family, the city, the nation, and also the nations. Vision is critical in this challenge. And so, in the sequence of statements, as he begins to talk and disciple this followers as they were with him at that particular point, he says three things. He says, in verse 35, which is my key verse, he says, open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest. Three critical statements. First of all, open your eyes. This is a call to an awakening. Somebody can see in the physical and not see beyond. I mean, they're just able to see on the surface, you know, the situation and the scenario, and not be able to see beyond there. I am calling forth the spirit of revelation. It's as if Jesus was saying, I am speaking to you, and I'm saying to you, walk in revelation, walk in discernment, walk in depth of understanding. Pray by praying, open your eyes, that God may help you see something deeper about your friends in the office, or about your business and the business people there, or about your children, or about your family. It all begins, this journey of refreshed vision, of kingdom vision, of seeing like heaven sees, begins by opening the eyes. And although they can see in the physical, Jesus is speaking to something deeper. It's called an awakening, and he's commanding an awakening. Today, somebody needs to pray this part of the altar call of the day. Lord, open my eyes. Somebody needs to pray that prayer. Lord, open my eyes. In John 4, verse 35a, because we divide that verse in three parts, 35a, don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Just stop there. Open your eyes. When you read 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to verse 18, you find that it's possible for somebody to see in the physical, but not be able to appropriate or understand the resources of the kingdom that are already aligned for them. And they continue suffering. They continue missing opportunities just because it is not about physical blindness. There is a sense of blindness here that requires a vision and requires the eyes that are open. And hence we awaken, we command the eyes to open. In that text, verse 15 to verse 18, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." I want us to read that verse again. Go back, verse 16. Let's read it. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Let me tell you, may the spirit of revelation descend upon you. And being able to discern, may heaven's vision come in your direction. You'll begin to see things you've never seen before. And I declare, as a servant prophet of God in this place, that those who are with you are more than those who are arranged against you. May I also say, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is actually outside. Elisha, the prophet, is not afraid. Every child of God should have the Elisha kind of experience because of the vision that you walk with. Because of what you can see, others cannot see. Even when you are cornered and the situation looks dire, it looks impossible, the newspapers are reporting this, the televisions are broadcasting the other, and it's so easy to have a whole nation in fear, a whole city in fear, a whole family in fear, a whole individual paralyzed by fear. Vision is critical. And he's saying, open your eyes. Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked. And what did he see? We can read together. And he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Verse 18 says, as the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. I am praying that all the ones pursuing you, they are struck with blindness. Is that a good prayer to pray? All right. Yes, prophets pray with some very serious, Pastor Kiniti, for some very serious prayers. Yeah. Those pursuing you, wakose kuona, wagrope in the dark. And Elisha is safe, having peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because of vision. The servant is afraid. Why? Because of lack of vision. And Jesus knows that vision is critical. Vision is very liberating. It liberates us from spiritual sleep and awakens us to divine possibilities. Let me repeat. Vision liberates us from spiritual sleep and awakens us to divine possibilities. In fact, throughout church history, everywhere there has been an awakening. It has always started with vision. And young people like Joseph had a dream. And in Genesis 37, that dream awakened a young man, and he never gave up that vision. His eyes were opened through a dream, and he saw himself becoming a leader. Eventually, he becomes a prime minister in Egypt. And while in Egypt, he lays down a strategy for food sufficiency. And they started the silos where you keep corn. And those silos are used to this day. That is Joseph's kind of wisdom and discernment in his day. And it's because the Lord, you know, opened his eyes and he saw a dream, and he never gave up. Let me say, in any family, if anything is going to happen, the eyes of someone need to be open. And sometimes we live in the realm of the complacent and the nominal and things that are unacceptable within the realm of family or cities or nations or continents because somebody's eyes have not been open. And today we pray, Lord, open my eyes. And let me tell you, when God opens your eyes and you begin to see things you haven't seen before, you are moved into action. And this blindness sometimes is caused by circumstances. You have been overwhelmed in life, and so you don't see. It's a blindness brought by just overwhelming circumstances. I want to thank God that Job, in the prime of his suffering, well, he was not overwhelmed by his suffering. And that's why in Job 19, verse 25, he says, I know my Redeemer lives even at the center of his suffering. He is making a very interesting statement. I may go through everything I'm going through, but one thing you can't take away from me. I know that even now, my Redeemer lives, and very soon he'll take a stand. And we know Jesus finally came to earth. He went to the cross on that hill. He was crucified. He took his position and beat the devil big time, 10-0, like we say. And I'm happy my new beat Manchester City. I am a fan. You can see today, Manchester fans, how how they are dressed. Deacon Masolo. And I see others, several of my new fans. Yes, aren't they? I see them. Yes, dressed in red. My new fans, God bless you. Thank you very much. And I know Arsenal is supporting us also. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, when we see, and the things that we don't see, there are those things we see, there are things we don't see. And we find problems persist because someone has not risen to see. If I had, and I will share this maybe as we go along, the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And the way he was awakened by God to see. Gideon chapter 6, we call it the Gideon action. And the Midianites were sitting on them. They were destroying their harvest. In fact, the Midian spirit is a spirit who comes to destroy the harvest. When you have worked, you have earned a salary, you have some savings, then a disease shows up. Then a car breaks down. Then something else. And all these things are taking chunks of money that you have earned the hard way. It's called the Midianite spirit. And Israel was suffering. They raise a harvest. Midianites come. They take it all away. And their labor is taken away. But you know, somebody had to rise within the family. And his name was Gideon. And God gave him a revelation. Insight. Opened his eyes. And he said, it is the altar of your father that's causing all these problems. An altar within the homestead. And told Gideon, go. Destroy it. And he went by night, put it down, Asherah poles, the Baal, whatever's there, and he put it down, put up a new altar dedicated to the Lord called Jehovah Shalom. He put a new altar, and the beginning of peace in that nation was flowing from that altar to every home, to every village, to every neighborhood, because the wisdom came through opening of eyes of a young man called Gideon. So it is important for us in the 21st century, surrounded by clutter and many things. I was going to say part of the reason for the blindness is busyness. And Pastor Ambrose put it better than I would ever put it when he talked about a chicken that is just pecking grain here. And that chicken is so vulnerable as it puts its eyes down and it's pecking the grains. Now, if an enemy comes with a sack, it's so easy from behind to just come and envelop it and then take it for dinner. Very, very vulnerable. I thank God for that illustration he gave. And God wants us to be in a position whereby it's not the chicken kind of vision. We're just here busy pursuing more money, pursuing that, appointments, and your whole day is full. You cannot see what God is seeing because of busyness. Jesus visited a family, Mary and mother. Mother was busy. She went to the kitchen. She missed her moment. She was making a meal for the Lord. Now, you know, the work of the Lord and the Lord of the work are very, very different. The work of the Lord and the Lord of the work. So, the mother position was the work of the Lord. She was very, very busy. Very, very busy. She missed her moment, the visitation. Now, Mary, her sister, her position is the Lord of the work. She went, connected to the Lord, and was spending time with Jesus. Then Jesus makes a commentary over the situation, and he's saying, Mother, you are so busy with so many things, but only one thing is needed of you. Mary has found the better thing. And that is, Mary was spending time with the Master. And oftentimes our eyes are closed to seeing where to really maximize and optimize the gift in us, to be able to release it. And this now comes through vision. And there is a need for that awakening. I could say many more wrong priorities. can make us blind. Fear could also make us blind. Procrastination, walking with a yesterday mentality, the limitations of the past, and many other issues that would cause us to be blind. And so this message is a great clarion call to say, open your eyes. And Jesus therefore speaks to the disciples and he says, open your eyes. But you know, opening your eyes is just one step in the sequence of refreshment of vision. Not just simply open eyes, because I could open eyes. The next level is look at the fields. Number two, look at the fields. And this is in John chapter 4, verse 35b, where he says, verse 35b, and look at the fields. There is an exclamation mark, part B. There is an exclamation mark, and look at the fields. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to verse 17, Abraham is invited by God to have the heaven vision, the kind of vision God has, even for his own destiny, personal destiny as a servant of God. Genesis 13, verse 14 to 17 says the following. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, Pastor Ambrose preached about this and said sometimes you have to separate with some people even very close to you if you are to really enter your promise or enter your blessing. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you will see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Is somebody receiving this? God is speaking to somebody. Hallelujah. It is him who is saying. He will provide the resources and the power to make this vision realizable. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And verse 17, go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am doing what? Let's give a hand to the Lord. That's what God wants to do. And to you, sometimes you feel yourself small. No, God is talking to you, saying, I'm giving it to you. So don't look over your shoulder or look behind or look across the sanctuary. You know, no, God is talking to me and I must engage and connect. Now, when I read a scripture like that, I'm sure you quickly would connect it with the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Give me Matthew 28, verse 19 and verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. What does it say? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This scripture is true in Kenya. It is true in Asia. It is true in Europe. It is true in the U.S. Bishop Matt, would you just stand? Let's appreciate this bishop here. Yeah, my friend, my very good friend. God bless you. I know you're preaching big on the other side. He's got a big church in the U.S. and a good friend of mine. And it is true in the U.S. It's also true everywhere. It is true in your house. It is true in the neighborhood. The village shopping center where you come from. And God, what is God saying? Go. Pastor Ambrose has shared before here that I normally leave my car on takeoff mode. And even today, where I've parked my car, it is parked on takeoff mode. And some young people come and ask me, Pastor, why do you park your car on takeoff mode? And I say, I am on the go. Hallelujah. I am not on the seat. I am there on the go. And Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Looking at the fields clarifies the assignment. And therefore, look at the fields liberates us from the lack of clarity of assignment and anchors us safely in our divine calling. And our primary divine calling, of course, is not just to cover a small field, but to cover a global field. Abraham looks this way, looks that way, looks the other way, looks the other way. And as far as he can see, God is saying, that's what I want you to have. The disciples had a small vision, and they were overtaken by stereotypes. A stereotype is a fixed picture you sometimes have of a person or a village, and it becomes almost like a judgment over that place. And because of their stereotyping, they would miss opportunities. And in their vision of the field, they had demarcated it in compartments. They were looking with eyes that say, yes, that we can cover. This one we can't cover. But I want to say that every person on planet Earth, from Japan to Greenland, I know we talk about Greenland a lot, to New Zealand, to South Africa, everywhere in the world, every person on planet Earth is part of this field. Look at the field. Now, God has put us by design, by purpose, in different platforms. We work in different places. After we leave this service, we all go different places. We live in different places, and we work in different workstations. And God has placed you there. Workplace, city, family, nation, generation. You know, all those are fields. And God has put you in that field. And today he's saying, now with open eyes, begin to look at that field as heaven would look at it. Now the disciples had missed the point. They were not looking at the Samaritan woman the way heaven would look at the Samaritan woman. They look at the Samaritan woman and they say, we don't associate with these people. And they think about her reputation. They think about her background. They think about her origin and stereotype her and determine that the grace of God, you know, the mercies of God cannot be granted, or the blessing of God to these ones, because they don't deserve. And therefore, our preaching, our prayers, our ministry shall exclude those ones, and we shall include the others. But if I understand the Great Commission, it is a global commission. It is a call to every man and every woman on planet Earth. He says, look at the fields. When I was preaching, presiding over the wedding of Pastor Ambrose's son, Caleb, I talked about the number of women on planet Earth. And I said, there are about 4.2 billion. And the men are how many? Maybe about, God is fair, isn't it? Just about the same, isn't it? How it works out, I don't know. But the numbers are just equal, about equal. Maybe about 4.2. The world population, maybe 8.4, 8.5. And I want to say every person on planet Earth is part of this field. All the women and all the men. Therefore, any church, any organization that crafts a vision that is less than what God has prescribed is not seeing as God sees. Every individual who puts together a vision that excludes some people and includes others is not seeing as God would see. And you will go as far as your vision. When you begin to see and you begin to pray and you begin to trust God, then eventually God orchestrates a movement. It's called a missionary movement. It's a mobilization of a mission of people around the world. And God begins to orchestrate a movement by His Spirit. And you find yourself going to locations you have never imagined. Actually, next week I'm going to India. Hallelujah. My field as I go to India, it starts in the plane. I'm telling you, the person sitting this way or the other way, they better be prepared. My mission field. And when I get to India, I go to Ahmedabad. I start right in the hotel. And all the hooting and everything that goes on and everything. But saying, thank you, Jesus. Because when you have the kingdom kind of vision, you see that these are people God loves. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Young people of Africa, you are young. I see. You are strong. You are blessed. Embrace a global vision. Go for no less. Wherever you go around the world, even in your own personal platform where God has placed you, don't go for any less. Go for a global status. Go for something big. That is what God wants us to embrace. But these disciples, because of the issues that caused them blindness, they were living small. They were seeing less. But Jesus encourages them and he's saying, in your mapping, and as we clarify the assignment, look as far as possible. And I pray as we go to the 50-year Jubilee celebration, Parklands Baptist Church, that one document we shall have, and the dates are the revival and Jubilee. The dates are August 3rd, which is Monday, up to August 9th this year, which is a Sunday. And I talked to the church council yesterday in the Azura Hotel behind here. And the chair of deacons, you were there when I said it. That I pray that we shall have several documents to bring to the altar of Jubilee. One is a document of gratitude called Ebenezer, appreciating all that the Lord has done in our midst. Second, I said we bring another document called the dream and called the vision. And I pray that we refresh our vision. We refresh our vision. I think I was talking to Pastor Kiniti here and I'm saying, we had seen a 10,000-seater sanctuary in this place. Where are we in that journey? But we need to sit together and refresh our vision. Because you can see this place is full. The pavilion is full. Huku chini, kuna watu. Online, we have people. There is a challenge upon us. See the field, how big it is. Generate infrastructure that is commensurate to what you see in the field. And in terms of mapping, whether you do demographic mapping or you're doing economic mapping or political mapping, geographic mapping and everything, we are equal to the task. And Jesus is inviting these disciples to begin to engage as heaven engages, because the whole world is in God's hands like this. And in Psalms chapter 2 verse 8, he says, ask of me the nations and I'll give them to you as an inheritance. And I wonder, how big is your prayer? So him is saying, ask of me the nations and I'll give them to you as an inheritance. And so today we can respond to the altar call that says, I am looking at the fields. And these fields have people. God loves people. It is all about people. And God wants us to see people with the eyes that of heaven. And so Jesus looked at the Samaritan woman, part of the field, had mercy and love for her. And they engaged. Then he said, bring your husband and come back. Then she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you've had five husbands. And the man you're staying with right now is not your husband. This has been her journey. But Jesus doesn't stereotype her, does not judge her, because the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God is bigger than any condition or situation that you can ever be. The blood of Jesus will match and surpass your situation. And the blood of Jesus can cleanse you of all sin. We said at the cross, where I fast? Yeah, exactly. The cross, that symbol, is an always reminder that there is enough power in the blood to save every human being on planet Earth. And so we need to map and really have the whole world, you know, within reach of vision. And so I pray for us as Parklands Baptist, even for myself. I don't know when you crossed over from 2025, 2026, through the night. What did you write? What is your dream? What is that vision? Vision is very liberating. And today, I am here to pray that which you have seen, may God grant it to you. Did you hear? May God grant it to you. Did you hear? May God grant it to you. That vision, may God grant it to you. That dream, may God do what? Grant it. For some of you, it's a business sector or whatever it is. It's about your children and you have your dream. It's about your family. Today, as I'm praying, we are looking at that horizon called the fields, 360. And we are saying, God, give us this. So as a church, this year is big with the Jubilee. The second document, I said, is that one of the dream and the vision. We come to the altar of revival and Jubilee, and we say, God, here is our dream. First of all, the document of thanksgiving. Secondly, the document. And then I say, Dr. Kakunju, we also need to appreciate people who have served this church. Hallelujah. From the beginning, and we started, we were 40-some, 1976. We were a small group of people. But see what the Lord has done over the years. You know, small group of people meeting on Ojijo, Chiromolin Junction, that small prefab church there that we've passed on to the Kenya Assemblies of God Church called the Rivers of God. Yeah, that's where we used to meet. But, you know, trusting God, and there are people who are there from the beginning. I mentioned some of them in that meeting at the Azure Hotel yesterday. And I sense in my spirit, we need to come and appreciate those ones and come, and we shall invite them. Hallelujah. Yes, and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you for these pillars of our faith, our fathers and mothers, and Mrs. Beatrice Tiger, who is here, who has prayed for Pastor Ambrose, prayed for me all those years. Your prayers are working. That's why I'm standing here. And that's why we can preach the way we are preaching, because of your prayers. Our mother, and she's been with us. And I said, we need to have that kind of document. Look at the fields. And it's so, so liberating. So, my friend, which field are you looking at? What are you seeing? Are you able to craft a dream, a vision, a proper statement from what you are seeing? And in the presence of God and His Spirit, the Bible says, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, God has done what? He has revealed it to His people. So this is something God has given us. We must see beyond Nyamachoma that the disciples were seeing. We must see the harvest. So Jesus is seeing the harvest. The disciples are looking at the meat and the ice cream and all the shoes and clothes and stuff they have brought from a town called Sychar. But finally, they are ripe for harvest. Finally, they are ripe for harvest. Obedience activated. John chapter 4, verse 35c, the last part. John chapter 4, verse 35c. It just says, as I've just read, they are ripe for harvest. One of the dimensions of obedience is the word now. The time is now. It is not tomorrow. Vision propels us into God's appointed moment and liberates us from procrastination, from hesitation, from the lie and syndrome called later, the lie and syndrome called someday, and the lie and syndrome that says not now. That is messaging from hell. It's a lie, it's a syndrome. We need to break free. Africa as a continent, your hour is now. And the young people of Africa, your hour is now. Anybody saying tomorrow is a liar. It is a syndrome and a disease and a sickness exported from the center of hell. And it does not belong to us. And so today, in Jesus' name, we dismantle every kind of thinking and mindset that is saying tomorrow. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, if I could have it on the screen. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Of course, sometimes because God has tarried for long and His grace is active, His masses are there, we don't see a sense of urgency. So we take grace for granted. In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, let's read that together. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is a day of salvation. Appreciate it with a hand to the Lord. I think that's a profound statement. And so, to bring the now into reality, obedience is what makes it happen. The activation of obedience. If Abraham did not do what he did through obedience, where will we be? Where would the nation of Israel be? Where will the whole work and act of salvation be? That gentleman never hesitated. When the word came to him, together with his wife, they didn't know where they were going, but they know God was with them. They just simply obeyed. And today we know the whole story of that gentleman. If your life is going to be significant, if you're going to have kingdom impact, you cannot bypass the word obedience. Jesus, writing in the Gospel of John, said the following words, that if we keep his word, if you keep his commandment, then he says he will manifest himself through you. And so there is no shortcut. It is taking God at his word and then saying, God, here I am. Let me say this. Heaven is ready. Heaven is in the now. Nairobi, the city, is ready, just like Saika was many years ago. The city is in the now. The Samaritan woman is ready. She is in the now. She's just waiting for an obedient person. Then her life will change. But the disciples were not ready. They are having a calendar mindset as opposed to a kingdom mindset. They are not ready. I want us to say, as Parklands Baptist Church, that we are ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many agree with me that we are ready? Let me see. Yeah, thank you very much. God has seen that hand. And you're joining Isaiah when he said, here I am, Lord, send me. He didn't need to take a break or go on a holiday. God engages him. It's an encounter. God is speaking. He responds in real time. It is now. And he says, here I am, Lord, send me. I am seeing an army rising. And this army is rising from an epicenter called Parklands Baptist Church. A gifted people, a talented people, an obedient people. I see an army rising. And I see an army of the kingdom marching north, marching south, marching east, marching west, taking the center. I am seeing an army rising. And this rising of the army is from Parklands Baptist Church. I declare that in the days ahead, this church becomes the epicenter of global evangelization. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Some years back, and I also mentioned something in that conference we had yesterday with the leaders. I said we should also document all the prophecies we have prophesied from this altar. And I mentioned some. We stood here with Pastor Ambrose, and we were praying. And we said, we see Westlands becoming the hub of hospitality in Kenya, in Nairobi and Kenya. That was long ago. And we see hotels coming up all around us. There were not all buildings around us. Today, that word, the Lord is honoring it. And therefore, there will be people in these hotels, they'll be looking and seeing a church here, and they'll be coming. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord? It has happened. We said, there will be a road above the other road coming from the airport. That was a long time ago. And it will truncate at James Gishuru, just here. Many years later, there is an expressway. Glory to God. And we say time will not be wasted. We shall enter vehicles, get expressway, straight airport. The army goes south. The army goes north, west, north. You know, different directions. The young generation, connect with this preacher. Connect with this vision. Connect with this prophecy. It is your hour. It is your day. It is your time. I love the young generation. Connect like David did when he was given the assignment to become king at an early age, 17 years, and later to take down Goliath and the lion and the bear. And he never hesitated. And this young man took the bull by the horns and he obeyed the Lord. And the rest is history. Do not procrastinate. Listen to this prophetic voice. Do not procrastinate. The fields are ripe for harvest. God will take you there. through ideas, through your work platform, through whatever ways, but I'm prophesying and I'm saying an army rising. It's going north, it's going south, it's going east, it's going east, west. And this army is unstoppable. It's the army of the Lord and carriers of the gospel. And they shall reach the last person on the mile, whether as lawyers, doctors, engineers, as teachers, as drivers, as workers in different ways. But I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. And it is very, very clear to me. Parklands Baptist Church, you are a leader church. Distinguish yourself thus. You have a big assignment. God is raising you by the power of the Holy Spirit to achieve much more than you've ever envisaged. God has honored you and privileged you to have 10 acres in Westlands. It was 2 pieces of 5 acres amalgamated, just so that these people can sit on this land, sit in Westlands, a beautiful location, located. God has done everything God can do on his side. And on our end, he's saying, where is your obedience? The fields are ripe for harvest. And God is calling someone here to say, here I am, Lord, send me. The lie tomorrow, the lie later, the lie someday, the lie not now, that lie, I break it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That lie is gone and must not have an impact or effect on any one of us, because we must rise to this vision and we must rise to this calling. It is a liberating vision. Is a powerful vision, and Jesus gives the disciples nothing less. That's what he has given us, and we must not settle for anything less. I'm coming to a time of prayer. And like I said earlier, the altar call is very simple. It runs around, open your eyes, look at the fields, and they are ripe for harvest. For somebody here is to say, my God, I have been blinded by many things, sometimes my prejudice. I have lived smaller than you have wanted. Just like Peter could not reach the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10, verse 33 to 35. He comes to the house of Cornelius and eventually he says, God is no respecter of persons. And suddenly for Peter, from the small closet, he's thrust into a global experience. And he says, well, even these people should be included. The Apostle Paul, his limitations are also lifted. And he writes Romans 1:16 and he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so somebody is responding and just saying, God, open my eyes. I don't want to miss my opportunities. Give me those deeper, inner heaven, kingdom kind of eyes. I want to connect with the opportunities I have missed for so long. For 10 years, I have missed. For 15, I've missed. But now, I'm not missing again. Open my eyes. I want to see. But secondly, the mapping. Look at the fields. And there are so many pockets of influence that are still out there that need kingdom influence. And God has prepared you for those particular places, those fields. And you say, my God, show me. Show me. Show me, not just open eyes, but eyes that see something. Show me these fields. But thirdly, the obedience. My God, I want to do something. And it is not tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. So that today's altar call is in those three tires. It's a sequence presented in John 3, verse 35. It's a refreshment of vision. It is powerful. It is mobilizing. It is energizing. God wants to do it. He did it at Pentecost, at the beginning of the church. Holy Spirit came. They were given languages. They were enabled to be global ministers. Suddenly, it happened. And they were talking to people from 17 different places. 17. And they never had gone to school. And they went and they were speaking. God just unlocked, because his vision is bigger than the little vision that we have. God will enable. Vision precedes provision, or provision follows vision. And so when you believe and when your eyes are open and look at the fields and say, it's me, not my brother or my sister, I'm going to do it. Suddenly, God resources that vision. That's the kind of vision I'm talking about. It's very liberating. And I speak to the churches in Nairobi and also Africa. We are caught in our little
kingdoms. We've created, and then we've made rules and traditions, and it's so heavy. But God is saying, free yourself from these traditions and routines and looking at people with eyes that are not kingdom eyes and judging them. God is saying, the hour has come for you to see your brother and your sister the way God sees them. Hallelujah. God saw the Apostle Paul. He didn't see a murderer. He turned him around. And the Apostle Paul became an instrument in God's kingdom. We have missed opportunities because of the deficits in our vision. And so today, we are coming to the altar of liberating vision. That's where we are. Jesus has spoken. John 4, verse 35. That is the word of this altar. And there is power in this altar. Therefore, as we take the altar call, you know which kind of prayer you'll pray. You don't have to come in front, just where you are. Those of you who are online, wherever you might be in your sitting room, even in a hospital bed, if you are there, and I speak healing right now in Jesus' name for those who are sick right now in Jesus' name, I say, be healed in Jesus' name. You can take your altar call. Open my eyes. Lead me. Show me the fields. And here I am. Lord, send me. And so the altar call is very, very simple, and we shall partake together. Therefore, I ask us to stand so that we share in the altar call. That song we had sung earlier at the cross was very nice. Yeah. So even as we do the altar call, have it in the background of your mind. Jesus did it all. The rest is just obedience. He's not telling you to die on the cross. No, that is done. The rest, you know, is just obedience. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that in this month of January, we can raise the altar of liberating vision. And that not just any vision, but this very powerful liberating vision given by heaven to us. My God, I thank you for the way you speak to the disciples, refreshing that liberating powerful vision to them. And Jesus, you invited them to open their eyes, to look at the fields, because they are ripe for harvest. Here we are in the 21st century, having the same experience as those disciples, and having an opportunity to respond to this word. And therefore, Lord, I pray for somebody who is saying, I open my eyes. And God, I pray for the power, like the one that rested on blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. The power that opens eyes, and I talk about inner eyes and spiritual eyes, to now descend. May that anointing rest here in the pavilion, wherever people are online. May the anointing that opens eyes here in Nairobi, here in Africa, descend from heaven. We are under an open heaven. May that anointing, liberating vision, anointing, descend upon you. Those eyes that have been closed for one reason or another, today, as you pray at this altar call, may they be open in Jesus' name. May you now begin to see things you've never seen before. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, not only are we opening eyes at this altar call, we are looking at the fields. And I pray that you may direct us to fields and areas after we leave this church, and even now in the spirit. Show us the fields. Turn that into a dream. Lord, turn it into a vision, a consuming vision that will begin to draw passion, the power of the fire within us once again. Lord, show us the fields. There are so many people going to hell, and they should not be going to hell just because we haven't gone to these fields all over the world. Lord, we say no. Like that boy who came to pray here, and he prayed that people go to heaven and they don't go to hell. That is our prayer, that nobody goes to hell, because hell was not made for people. Jesus died so that people go to heaven. And God, open our eyes to these fields. Identify spaces and spots and specifics, that our vision is clarified. Our vision is something you can write. It's something articulatable. My God, thank you for this vision, a dream that you're giving to somebody here today. But finally, my God, they are ripe for harvest. May you now lift the spirit of complacency the spirit of delay, the spirit of hesitation, the spirit of fear, and all the things that delay obedience. And we join Isaiah today in saying, here I am, here we are, Parklands Baptist Church, send us. We are your servants, we are your instruments, we are ready. That's what we said, we are ready. I know heaven is ready. The cities are ready to receive the message. We are saying from Parklands Baptist, we are ready. And therefore we align. And Father, by the act of this service, now put us on a missional pathway. Lord, put us on an apostolic trajectory. God, now send us, lead us north, south, east, west, center, to the ends of the earth. My God, now resource this vision that is global. Make it possible. In a couple of months, people will give testimonies and say, from that day, the Lord showed me this. I am now here doing that and doing the other. God has provided. God has come through. Thank you, my God. And so lift us from the smallness of things to the largeness of the harvest. For the harvest is ready. The laborers are the ones who are few. So my God, thank you very much for those who have responded. And I pray the power of the Holy Spirit upon them in a big way. As we live now, we are an army. I commission an army. And we will. Nairobi will never be the same again. Kenya will never be the same again. Africa will never be the same again. And even the world surrounding us will never be the same again. Because I've prayed in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all say, let's give a mighty hand clap to Jesus. Glory to God. He is a mighty God. He's a good God. I'll invite Pastor Kiniti for the benediction. I really appreciate that we could consider that scripture today. And I pray that it has profoundly benefited somebody and truly changed somebody in this service or even following online. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, let us celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Some praise for the King of Kings. If you are receiving that word, receive it with joy. Receive it with gladness of heart. Receive it with a shout of praise. Hallelujah. And let's appreciate the man of God for such a wonderful message that the Lord has given us indeed. Amen. And as I bring the benediction, this is the year that you must give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I am inviting you. I am challenging you. Because this is the year of connection. This year, you must give your life to Jesus Christ. I want to repeat it. This year, there is an opportunity that you must give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so make it a consideration. If that is you that I am talking to, make it a consideration. And today presents one of the opportunities for you to actually do that. So maybe you're here, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, and that's your desire today, open your eyes, see the Lord Jesus and the complete work of the cross, and allow him to be Lord and Savior over your life. And you will see the field. You will see the work that is before you. And so if you're here and you've not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what you want to do, even as I give the benediction, please don't leave. Don't leave. I'm saying don't leave. Because this is the day. The hour of visitation is right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. That scripture that we have been given. This is the day. It is the moment of your visitation. Don't leave. Come forward and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are at the pavilion, we have leaders there. Don't leave. Just walk to the front. Please, if we could have some of the leaders right now, just walking to the front at the pavilion. Don't leave without giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are online, let us know. You can put a comment at the comment section and just say, I want to receive Jesus today. and somebody will reach out to you. Because this is the day. This is the day. This is your year in Jesus' name. Amen. How the cross, how the cross, where I fall, so the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Your Monday is blessed in Jesus' name. And your Tuesday is blessed. And your Wednesday is blessed. And your Thursday is blessed. And your Friday is blessed. Indeed, your Saturday is full of blessing. And Sunday, you are coming back with a testimony. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to each one of you. Indeed, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Receive this blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember, if you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity today. God bless you and a great week ahead.